And in determining whether to, I guess, cancel a bid or a quote in the event of untimely delivery, is that the, to your knowledge, is that the agency's decision to make whether to allow for a late delivery or to cancel the order? How do you make that determination?
We take a look at the requesting company to extend. Now, if it's affecting the manufacturer, the factory itself, or from acts of God, then we entertain the extension, we grant them the extension. Now, if it's just because a shipment or their order was late with no apparent reason and no other reasoning, then we do not grant them the extension.
Now, if you had to, let's say the order is 6 to 8 weeks, and when you issue your notice of default, you find out that delivery is not going to be anytime soon. If you cancel the order, what would you then, steps would you then have to take?
We're going to, we amend the purchase order to cancel. It's in entirety. And then a requisition, again, it's generated, resubmitted, assigned to a buyer, request for quotation goes out, and then it goes to budget certification. So it's the whole process again, starting over.
Okay. So would it be fair to say that generally it's you can get sooner delivery by just waiting until the actual delivery finally arrives?
That's correct.
Under general procurement procedures, you would be able to charge for X if he's terminated for default. Anyone is terminated for default, you would be able to charge excess costs of late procurement. Is that your procedure?
No.
Now, and just to clarify that, in determining in getting any extra cost if you've done that, for a request for quote, is that correct that there is no bid bond, performance bond, or any other bond held by GPA in cases of default?
That's correct.
And only for imitation bid, requested bid, only in that case would there be a bid bond, cashier's check, any of the things that are done in lieu of a bid bond that would be held by GPA.
That's correct.
Is it your practice when requiring the cashier's check, the purpose of that is to ensure performance, is that correct? So what is the purpose of the cashier's check? To ensure that they will actually perform on the bid they submitted, or why do you require the cashier's check?
For the bid bond purposes, it's to secure their pricing, the company's pricing.
And when you require the cashier's check or other form of security, do you normally, is it your business practice to pay interest on that to anyone or not?
No.
Have you ever paid interest to anyone?
Okay, I don't want to answer that. I'm not too sure. I know that when procurement gets the check, because it's actually deposited, and when we were returning it to the company, it's actually the amount that was actually deposited.
Just answer, please, to the best of your knowledge. What the practice is, since you've been in your position as Chief Procurement Officer for GPA, how are such security arrangements handled in terms of interest when you return?
I'm not too sure. I can't answer the interest.
Your Honor, we would not pay any interest.
And we would concede that the check and the cashier's check are the exact same amount. So in this particular case, the cashier's check was deposited and approximately 2 or 3 months later upon delivery, the same amount was returned back to Columbus to begin the process.
What I'm after is are you aware of any instance in which interest has been paid on that amount, or is your common business practice to simply return the exact amount back?
Our common process is just to return what was deposited.
So you routinely cash the cashier's check?
We deposit. Our practice, our standard practice, is to deposit into our cashier. And
you deposit as a cashier's check. That means you have the free use of that money.
I'm not too sure. I can't answer that, ma'am. I know that we deposit it and it reflects a bid number.
Okay. So all cashier's checks received in bids are deposited into a GPA account?
We turn it into our cashier, customer service cashier. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And which who in turn deposits them?
I believe so. I'm not too sure how that works.
Okay. Now,
about how, approximately how much, on average, in your experience, how much cashier's checks do you get in the, you know, because it's my understanding from anecdotally that most companies prefer to give a cashier's check rather than get a bond.
Actually, we deal more with bid bonds.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of it is bid bonds.
So, do you know approximately how much on a month you might get in the form of cashier's checks?
No, ma'am. I'm sorry, I can't answer that.
But they come through your office, though.
That is correct, sir.
Who summarizes the receipt of those cashier's check within your office?
It's actually it's kept on file for each bid ISB file. It's filed away until an award is made, and then that's when we request from accounting again to process. But we don't keep track of that. We just have it on each bid file receipt of all deposits. On cashier's check.
Is the intent of cashing the cashier's check when you do get it? Is the intent of cashing the cashier's check when you do get a cashier's check instead of a bond, is that to accumulate interest, or is it to ensure that the check money is actually there and will be available?
I think more it's more of security issues. Our office does not touch any cash, so it's a standard practice that it's given over to customer service, with, of course, reflecting the company name and the bid number, reflecting bid number.
Okay, now, in the case of default by any bidder, I mean, which there is a bid bond or a cashier's check, that is how you would recover damages, right? I mean, if there were damages to be assessed against the bidder, I mean, that's the purpose of a bid bond or cashier's check or any other monetary one that's made for that purpose, right?
No. It's assessed by the total purchase order, and then it's when it's payout time, that's when the assessment is without the total payment. Performance bond and bid bond is more of a security, so if the vendor is able to perform and provide the materials, even though they're late, then the assessment comes out of the payout.
Out of
the purchaser.
The cashier's check or the bid bond, the purpose of that is to ensure that the person bidding will actually stick to his bid.
Is able to, yeah.
Correct.
That's correct.
Just so we're all the same.
Yeah.
I don't have any further.
May I ask you?
Yes.
Yes. Mr. Lansangan, would you like to examine the witness?
No, Your Honor.
You brought about it, sir? You don't have to.
Thank you for giving me time. Ms. David Pangalinan, that out of those 9 purchase orders that I was disputing, would you think that you would grant me an extension on the remaining 8 purchase orders if I sent you a letter of cancellation, just like what I did with that purchase order that I was given an extension?
Okay. It depends on what consideration are you talking about. Now, if your letter requested to consider because the factory had one of the components that broke, so that was justifiable to extend. Now, if it was just a consideration, we need to probe in further as to what type of consideration, what is the purpose of the delay of the delivery.
if most of the purchase orders have a request for delivery extension letter from the manufacturer, especially the 5215, the big amount, wherein you were not the administrator by that time.
Uh-huh.
But Mr. Thomas Borg, I have acknowledged that I had a letter.
Again, this is Langsana, Mr. Langsana. If your manufacturer, if you have supporting documentation requesting to extend, and it's justifiable, and it's beyond your control and our control, then I don't see the problem. Again, we also get our requesting, our end users involved, and if they are able to, if they're able to hold for the next 2-3 weeks, then we'll grant the extension with the concurrence of the requesting department.
Well, if that's your rationale or your reason why I was denied in the first place, where in fact I had a letter from the manufacturer, and in that given purchase order, it is specified that the manufacturer, which is SNC, mm-hmm. electric company, and I had a letter from the SNC electrical company explaining the reason of the delay, and you still denied my request. It doesn't sound accurate. It's not accurate.
Okay.
You know, because in that given instance, it's already a compelling argument of GPA that in regardless of our request, the mine track of GPA is, the mindset is one track to deny all the delivery extension.
Again, Mr. Langsana, if your company had given us adequate time, meaning ahead of the expired delivery time, we can entertain it, but you're actually, what is happening, Mr. Langsana, is your company is coming back. We're serving you a notice of default. We're serving you 10-day cure notice. If you come to us ahead of the actual delivery time to say, I'm requesting extension, here's the supporting documentation from SNC, that's no problem. We can try to work with you. Again, we look at our inventory, we look at our stock levels. That is reviewed on a daily basis. Now, if we do have enough supplies inventory, then we also can grant that at the same time, Mr. Langsana. But at the same time, when we go out for request for quotation, we clearly identify the delivery time again. And all bidders, all vendors whose award is held, is upheld to that standard. And that, again, is closely scrutinized. And it's not only with your company, sir, it's with all companies that we deal with.
Well, in the purchase order, Ms. Angelina, it is, again, clearly defined, explicitly stipulated my right, they give me the right to secure a delivery extension. And I already, after that, I sent you a letter from the manufacturer, or before that letter, and still it was denied.
So
therefore, there's no basis on your...
Can we clarify what letter he's referring to? I believe that, you know, the one for S&C, the only one I see for S&C is page 7 and 8. If those are the two letters that we consider from the manufacturer, perhaps Ms. Anglin can answer what she thinks about those two letters and the justification.
Okay, again, here on S&C, letter is dated March 18, 2009 and March 18, 2009. It only says that we're shipping the materials, but it does not say the delay of the materials. And again, the purchase order,
it says it's scheduled to be shipped on 4909, okay, and your delivery due date is 413 for that particular item, if I'm understanding it. So there is no way that thing will be delivered on 413. Okay. March 18, 2009 is the SNC Electrical Company's date, and it says it's scheduled to ship on 4909, which is your page 8.
Right.
Okay, and are we in agreement?
Right, and also what I would note about that is there's no reason for the delay. Is it because Mr. Langsana didn't order in time or didn't place his deposit or whatever? I mean, And the other ones, there's a reason saying, I can't meet that because there was a change of specification, the machine broke down, whatever. I mean, there's got to be a basis. Just because they deliver late, we have no way of knowing why the manufacturer delivered late. There's no explanation for why they're not scheduled to ship until 4-9.
I have a question. Go ahead, Mr.
Williams. Thank you, Your Honor. Well, again, in the letter of SMC, in page 8, it is specified that all shipping estimates are subject to prior sales of material and or manufacturing capacity. And I'm invoking on the act of God for this manufacturing capacity. Because of the current recession in the mainland, it affects the material and their people and their manufacturing capacity. Therefore, my reason is in asking for delivery extension is valid.
Okay, so here we have, and that's what we have here is an excusable delay clause. Is that correct?
Look at
item 6101-8B, excusable delay. Is that correct?
AD, yes.
Yes, okay. So my question to you is, there are acts of God cited in that clause. There are other number of specific excuses for delay. And I'm asking, my question to you as the procurement chief is that your criteria for whether you do or do not grant you?
No. This is not one of the criteria that will grant them the extension. The reason for that, sir, is because on tab 2, page 19, PO number 13394, we issued the purchase order. Delivery time is 8 to 10 weeks. Now, he's coming back to us on April 9th.
No, on March 18th.
March 18th, he's coming back to us and he's saying, schedule shipping is on March 9th. Now, we didn't get any additional information as to why it's scheduled to on March 9th. If he had come back and said that due to back orders, due to restoration on the other side of the world, due to, you know, certain issues, then that we need to change.
Okay, what I'm saying is, Mr. Bolta and Ms. Sanguine, is do you use the excusable delay clause? Is that the clause that you use to excuse delay or not the excusable delay? Is that your criteria?
We do use, yes.
Okay.
Well, and as a point of fact, you look at page 19 anyways, that letter dated March 18th said that it was going to ship on April 9th. Okay, now, I mean, we all know that from the West Coast, April 9th, it takes 2 weeks to get to Guam. Let's even add another week for the ship. I mean, unless there's a storm or some hurricane in the ocean, 3 weeks. Well, 3 weeks from April 9th would put it at the end of April. Still, it wasn't delivered until May 29th. There's no explanation for why. I mean, his own manufacturer letter says ship on 4-9. Well, presumably that means ship from there to go to Guam. I mean, and so nothing after that. I mean, are we supposed to conclude that the letter is wrong or that somehow they didn't ship that date? I mean, all we have is the actual delivery date, May 29th. I mean, you have to have some basis for saying that's excusable delay. And before us on that letter, it just says that it's scheduled to ship. I mean...
Your Honor, the purchase order specifies only one manufacturer, and that's SNC. It doesn't specify or equal. Therefore, any vendor that got the order will be in the same circumstances. GPE have not defaulted on any order to any government agency. We're a reputable supplier. And why they won't grant us extension when they specifically wrote down here the SNC electrical company? And it's already the letter from the SNC manufacturing company. Therefore, my request for extension is valid. And then when I give them that letter of cancellation, then the next day they already extend me. And that's very questionable and not acting in good faith, as specified in section 5003 of 5GCA.
Thank you, sir. So where we are at now is whether or not the request for delay submitted by Mr. Lansangan falls within the excusable delays clause. That's where we're at.
Well, and I take note of page 24 with regard to the same thing. This obviously appears to come from some type of manufacturer, dated January 15th, and it says above switches available at our Portland warehouse. I mean, that's from the manufacturer saying they're available. I mean,
in other words, I want you to
within the argument. 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, in about 6 to 8 weeks.
6 to 8 weeks would put it in March. I mean, you know.
Well.
And then later on, I guess maybe they're saying we can't ship till April 9th, but that's only a 2 or 3 week delay. I mean, from the manufacturer himself.
Your Honor, this is the attached on the request for quotation. This was also attached when he was submitting his press proposal.
So, Mr. Lansonen, I would ask you then, can you demonstrate how this falls within the excusable delay clause? Can you tell us how?
Your Honor, first of all, I don't even have these two in bulk heavily or put great weight on the act of God in this particular purchase order, because they specify only one manufacturer. That's why in the page 24, is our quotation, the one that is referring to, the GPA. As I have iterated before, I would reiterate before again that any vendor that got the order will be in the same circumstances, because we're dealing with the manufacturer directly. And we have the letter from the manufacturer. And there's a registration in the mainland that is capturing all factories, the manufacturing capacity, all the components that used to make this kind of material, because it's a special disconnect switch. This is a very legitimate, valid rationale, you don't know.
I have one further question, and that is with the disconnect switch, which is the subject of this particular purchase, did this occur as an item that you would call your crew in on a weekend to install? It should have arrived on a Friday evening?
I cannot answer that.
Well, on page 13, you said it's based on an urgency. What was the nature of the urgency?
Again, when a request comes in, we get the end users involved. They review it. They would be the ones to concur. The extension, again, now if it's excusable, like there's a storm and it affects the delivery, then I would always say
there is no storm.
That's correct. But again, I will ensure that the requesting department takes a look at it and considers it. Now, if it's not considered, it's because due to the urgency. And again, I believe this is a P&D. This is a transmission and distribution order, disconnect switch assembly. So with T&D, there's a lot of critical materials. So when they put in a request and it says 8 to 10 weeks, then they stand with 8 to 10 weeks.
So if you didn't get the 6 switches, to your knowledge, from the time of the delivery, which was closer than April 13th to May 29th, that's approximately 6 weeks, I think, more or less. All right. Did something happen in T&D to cause them not to be able to work because this switch assembly was not there?
This is critical, I believe, to the Island Power Man, and that is the reason why we indicated reflected this customer reliability to support the island-wide power system. So this material itself was critical, yes.
Again, did anything happen because the item did not arrive until 6 weeks later, 6 or 7 weeks later, right? Was there any island-wide emergency that could not be responded for 6 weeks because of these 6 switches?
If they did, I'm not too sure. They didn't say anything to me. If they come and ask me what's the status on the delivery, I would let them know it's extended, beyond our control. So they would have to make do with what they have out there in the field. But I cannot answer that.
You did deny on April 22nd, that's it. You did deny due to your emergency, but okay, subsequently, since April, I mean, you told Mr. Lansana that he was denied, and then when the things came in 6 weeks later, to your knowledge, was there any island-wide emergency or any emergency power outage, whatever you want, that these switches caused something to not be repaired for 6 weeks?
I'm not too sure. You know, there's outages, but I'm not too sure if it's affected in regards to this. I'm related. I'm not too sure. But there is outages.
You have various classifications that you think critical. Is there a level higher than critical?
Yeah. Emergency, but that's when the governor declares it, so when he uses the word emergency. Critical, urgent, that's a priority, considered a priority in the agency.
Well, what is your safety stock? At what level do you order?
This is not an inventory, ma'am. This is not an inventory item. So when they order six of these, they're in critical need of six switch assemblies.
Where do you say it's not an emergency?
No, she said it's not an inventory.
It's not an inventory. Where do you say that it's not an inventory?
Because this is not an inventory. It will not say that, ma'am, but in the purchase order, again, it will have the branch plant, which is 58,900, and that's transmission and distribution. Yeah, number 13394. Yeah. It says again T&D right on the bottom of the receiving section, T&D substation and / transmission. Okay, page 19 under tab 2. Vertical, it says ship to. It would say T&D substation transmission, transformer.
Well, there is at least that one other purchase order, it said for inventory, which means you're replacing inventory stock.
That's correct.
This one is just, these are the items that they need to do some specific project or whatever.
That's correct.
That you don't normally have an inventory.
That's correct.
You normally don't have inventories of transformers?
No, transformers is different. This is a disconnect switch assembly. This is not part of inventory.
You normally don't have?
No.
You would only order six at a time?
It depends, ma'am, on the T&D side of the house, on any project plan maintenance, which I'm not involved in. I'm only involved during the submission of the requisition.
When you normally order an item that is critical, would you have any knowledge as to whether if it arrives on a Friday, if you go ahead and install it on the weekend, if you call it a Tuesday?
Yes, there is times when T&D will work at night, but over the weekends as well.
Your Honor, one last question to Ms. Angelina. Ms. Angelina, my letter to you in April 13, I'm requesting a delivery extension. And if your reason is due to urgency, how come it took the department 9 days to reply and deny my request for extension? In April 13, I sent you a letter requesting for extension. It's in Exhibit C.
Yeah.
April 13. And then I received a response from you, which is not relevant, because right away you give me a notice of default and secure and for secure a delivery extension. I'm already requesting a delivery extension, and then you repeated it. And then my question is, it took you 9 days to figure out that to deny my request for the reason of urgency of the items. If it's really urgent, how come it took you 9 days?
Again, Mr. Lingsanen, we get the end users, the requesting departments in. We do notify them as soon as we get your request. And upon their availability, again, these are field crew individuals. They come in when they have time, sir. So I get the concurrence. Again, we look at this, we review it, and just the time to cancel and resubmit an additional 8 to 10 weeks, that also we have to consider, sir.
Thank you,
Mr.
Lingsanen.
You're welcome.
Okay, just a follow-up question on that. His there's, his, I guess page 15, is dated April 13th, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, now if you look down at the bottom and kind of reverse it, what does it appear that it was actually faxed out on? Look at the very bottom of that.
April 14th?
Page 15. There is something from GPE, so it is dated the 13th, but actually appears to be faxed the morning of the 14th at 9:24. Is that not correct?
Correct.
Okay. And on that delivery extension, the requested delivery extension was until May 12th. Is that correct on his letter?
Yes.
Okay, and it was actually delivered on May 29th. Is that not correct? Delivery thing would be page 19.
That's correct.
And I believe April 14th was the date that you actually sent out the notice of default that was faxed to Mr. Lintani. Is that not correct?
Yes, sir.
That would be page 17 and 18. So it's quite conceivable that his request and your notice of default overlapped each other. I mean, obviously you don't send them out yourself or receive them or whatever, right?
That's right.
Okay. Although I believe page 18 does indicate that one of your employees faxed it out at 8:52 in the morning.
That's right.
Okay.
Your Honor.
Sir.
In regardless of the request for quotation, even though it's late or early, the response is one pattern. The response is notice of delivery, default and secure, the default or secure a delivery extension. Therefore, the legal counsel's argument is irrelevant because once I request an extension, and regardless if my request for extension is late or not, they will still incorporate my right to secure a delivery extension. If there's no to secure the delivery extension here, then I have no case to request for delivery extension in case they want me to default. But it's incorporated here in their notice of default, and it's very standard letter. Your Honor, to cure the default, you are hereby notified that you have 10 days from the day you receive this notice to cure the default or secure a delivery extension. Which I did. That's why your argument, Your Honor, doesn't make sense.
Well, Ms. Pangolin, when there is a late delivery, is your letter that goes out consistent every time?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and you're notifying the vendor that their delivery is late and they need to provide you, either explain how or request a delivery extension. I mean, you're putting them on notice that the delivery is late and they have 10 days to deliver and cure the default.
That's correct.
Your Honor, you forgot to say again to secure a delivery extension. It's standard in the letter.
Yeah.
So he's debating that
the
statement.
We understand your point.
From the beginning, he's debating from it.
I understand your point, sir, and I also understand Mr. Buckley's point.
Okay.
We can proceed.
I think we've gone over this. I'm not sure I have anything further to add from Ms. Pangolin. Perhaps you have some questions? Or
a brief one, and that is, when there is an LD clause in your contract, I assume most of your PO contracts have LD clauses there.
All of them.
Okay, all of them. Now, when there is a request for a delay, based other than the excusable delay clause, do you routinely deny those requests for extension?
Yes.
And it's I'm saying across the board.
That's correct. Yes.
I guess if to follow up, I mean, if there's no substantiation for the reason for delay, I guess you would say, just because they requested, that you would routinely deny that in the absence of any supporting reason for delay, right?
That's correct.
We have the answer.
Follow up further. Are there, how many other vendors do you assess liquidated damages?
Quite a few. If they're inexcusable, then we assess all if a notice of default is issued.
Let me rephrase the question. How many have you assessed liquidated damages in which you have, because you, your process is, if there's liquidated damages, you're going to net it from the check and pay them the amount of less liquidated damages. So how much can you estimate has been the liquidated damages you've assessed in the last year? The fiscal year just ended 9/30/09.
About, estimated 20,000?
20,000, okay. There are 9 invoices involved here that Mr. Lanzana is asking for reconsideration. Has he performed on other contracts where he was not late?
I believe we have one in here, right, that was delivered on time?
No, I think there's one in there that a delay was granted.
Okay. I'm not too sure, ma'am. I didn't go through his entire history of GPE, so I'm not too sure if his company has made, I'm not too sure. He could, yes, but we closely scrutinizes all late deliveries.
Okay. So fiscal year 09, we're just talking $6,000. Did Mr. Lanzana have other business with GPA in fiscal year 09?
I'm not too sure, but we do send out requests for quotation to his company, yes. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Lanzana, in fiscal year 09, did you do other business, did you do any other business with GPA other than this switched assembly, PO 13394? Did you do any other business? This is for the, just for the fiscal year 09, to your knowledge. Oh, was this the only time you dealt with GPA in 09, in fiscal year 09?
No, Your Honor, because we're just gonna continue to lose money, and they're administering the procurement system that is contrary to statutes and regulations. That's why we decided not to participate on any bid, even their company is sending us requests for quotation. Because the, you know, the in case we're in the same situation, then we won't have any delivery extension again, in case we're late.
So just again, just to make sure I understand, in fiscal year 09, this was the only business you did with GPA? To your recollection?
I cannot recall, Your Honor, but after this PO with the switch quest, then we stopped doing business with GPA.
You have not?
Even they continue to send us request for quotation.
You have, and the reason for that?
The reason for that, because they're unreasonable in granting a delivery extension.
Okay, all right. In fiscal year 08, there were 4 areas that you provided items to the, you know, the one I'm concerned about is the purchase number 12306. That would be if your tab number 35. This was for lint-free absorbent wipes. This was one that appeared to have an inordinate delay, 151 days. And GPA extended liquidated damages to the tune of $372 when the total invoice was for 985 days. That's more than one-third of the amount. On page 35, there appears to be some oral exchanges which were ratified. Unfortunately, Mr. Lanzana did not provide any information to support why there were some delays, but your page, on page 35, and apparently you did not sign that. Whose signature is that on page 35, dated September 3, 2008? Whose signature is that? Or is that your signature?
That's my signature.
I'm sorry. Okay. In your letter, you acknowledge that during the follow-ups, your office has advised that your company was well aware and acknowledged that the delay was due to a multiple mix-ups in container shipments.
Well, and I mean, I think the response to that letter just says we can't enforce it.
Mm-hmm.
But I see nothing saying why.
No, that's what I said. Apparently, Mr. Your record does not seem to, the procurement record is devoid of back and forth correspondence, although it's summarized on page 35.
I agree.
Okay. Your procurement record has nothing to show back and forth on the part of...
I think to the contrary, page 38 and 39 indicate two letters sent from Mr. Lanzana. I mean, I guess that's the back and forth. And page 42 merely indicates that an employee at Mr. Lasonga's thing received the notice of default on February 26th and just said our container came in last night, 2:25:08, and as soon as we unload, we'll inform you for some schedule of delivery. So, page 42. So, on the contrary, I think there is some back and forth on that, but there's really not a, I mean, there's not a, there's nothing from a manufacturer or any other third party to say why or what happened.
Your Honor, Honorable Judge Brooks. Thank you, Your Honor. In their notice of delivery default and procure, let me read one paragraph here. However, please be advised that after the 10 days and delivery is not made, the purchase order may be processed for termination and considered in default. You will be duly notified of this termination. Your Honor, in some invoices and purchase orders, we were late not only for 10 days, 20 days, 30 days, 45 days, especially on that link, or related, I believe, by almost 1 month and a half, and still they did not execute anything that would make this notice with integrity, which is the main factor in administering the procurement system. Their notice of default is not consistent or agreement with what is specified in the statute. Because if the vendor is late for so many days and even months, and then you're not still doing anything because you knew that it won't affect your department, it won't affect the operation of the GPA employee, then you should not enforce that liquidated damage, because the vendor is giving you the best price and you are tolerating it.
Who is Mr. Alzon from your office? Alzon, Mr. Lanzana, Alzon?
That's my worker, Your Honor.
Okay. If you go back to that letter that you just cited,
number.
It's page 42.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Is that his handwriting? Says, please note our container came in last night on February 25th, '08. As soon as we unload our container, we will inform you for schedule of delivery.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. So that's, he says that the container came in February 25th, '08. Okay. But apparently you did not deliver the item until July 25th. 151 days later. Do you know why?
There was a partial delivery, Your Honor.
There was a partial delivery.
Yes, Your Honor, there were a partial delivery. And in that regard, you know, I'm invoking the acts of God, okay, which is broad, okay, and which cover my reasonable request for extension.
Do you know, Ms. Tangerlina, do you know how much was received? Could you tell from the, how much? If, in a case like this, do you assess liquidated damages on the entire invoice, or do you assess, if there was a partial delivery, do you take that out, or do you still assess it on the entire invoice?
I believe it's the entire invoice because...
Even though he's made partial delivery?
That's right. I'm looking at this, and on February 29th, item 2, 25 each was completed. However, item 1 was pending.
What page is that on again?
Page 40.
Page 40?
Yeah. So it looks like the other parts are delivered and then somehow the lint-free cloth didn't get delivered for months. I mean, something like
that. You're talking here about purchase order 12306?
Yes.
So everything but the lint-free cloth was delivered in that purchase order. So just one item.
That's right.
Well, none of 25 cases, 25 each.
As a matter of fact, I mean, even in considering the notice of default, he had 10 days to cure. So the items that came in on February 29th, no penalty.
No, that's why that was my question to ask.
So it was, I mean, obviously the penalty was done on the clock that didn't come in for 3 months.
Mr. Lanzana, on that particular purchase order, it was for approximately $4,000, of which all but $1,000 was delivered. Do you know why it would have taken 5 months to, or 6 months to, for that other item to come in?
There's only less than $1,000, Your Honor. For the lint cloth,
that
was the only merchandise that took a longer time, and it's because of the unavailability of the material from the manufacturer.
Did you tell that to Ms. to GPA?
No, it's my worker, Your Honor, that talking with the GPA, and because I get tired already of sending letter to them requesting for extension because it's just useless. I won't be receiving extension. And just like what I said, Your Honor, in their letter, I am invoking on the integrity of the notice of delivery default, because it specifies here that if you are in after the 10 days and delivery is not made, I'm already late for 1 month, 2 months, and still they're not taking any action. They believe that they can sign another vendor that would provide them a cheaper merchandise. So execute the notice of default. You don't just wait and do nothing if you're really sincere in your notice of default.
Well, I mean, just as a point of fact, I mean, based on the employee's representation to GPA, we'd have no reason to conclude that there wouldn't be anything other than delivery. The employee's handwriting says the container came in, will deliver. I mean, why would we believe that everything wasn't going to be delivered?
But you did state that everything but one item was delivered.
Right.
Okay.
Within the default period, in a timely fashion. I mean, within 10 days cured, it was delivered. But as to the other item that was never delivered, well, it wasn't delivered until 4 months later, there's simply nothing on the record from the employee or anyone else to say, I mean, why or why not? I mean, you know, as soon as they unload our container, which would imply to GPA and the procurement side that, don't worry, within, well, and in that case, within 4 days, at least the happy items were delivered. You know, containers unloaded, 3 days later, the items were delivered, but there was nothing subsequent to that to say why there was only a partial delivery.
Mr. Lanzagna, that your invoice, that was dated July 25th, of which GPA took more than one-third of the money because of the delay. Why do you continue to do business with GPA if you feel that they're not going to grant you extensions? Why did you again partake in the PO number 133994 on the switches? You know, it's your right if you feel that they are unreasonable. Why did you again respond to their request?
That's the nature of the businessman, Your Honor. We need business. And
but if you know that they're going to punish you for being late, why do you want to do business with a government entity that's going to punish you for being late?
Well, Your Honor,
This is from past experience. You've said it yourself. GPA has been unreasonable, as you said. You say that they have been unreasonable. If they are unreasonable, why do you continue to do business with them?
Well, I'm hoping for a divine intervention that would change their mindset. It is relevant to honor because
there's no divine intervention here, Mr. Lanzagna.
What happened is I exercised the divine intervention, intervened on me. That's why I'm protesting.
But it's also, this is a buyer beware, knowing the practice of GPA is to assess liquidated damages, and you continue to do business with them. They seem not to give much consideration to delays, so why do you continue to do business with them? I mean, divine intervention is, it will only be up above.
Your Honor, if you see the rise in your facts every time, what I mean by rise, and butter or bread is the request for quotation sent by GPA almost every week, then you'll be tempted to quote, you know. In fact, I sent them a letter, and it's not they're also in the volume one or two, that I don't want to do business with them again, you know.
So that's how you're going to avoid liquidated damages if you are late.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's something that is too ambiguous, Your Honor.
How is it ambiguous? Because the right of an extension is really based on a reasonable ground, and it's a matter of, that's for us to decide if the reason, if there was an excuse for. But given past practices and given the fact that they have continued to deny all your requests for extension, why do you continue to do business with them?
Like what I said, I thought they will change. And
obviously they have not.
The rice and butter is being sent to my fax. I see it. I got tempted. And given the fact that you need to remember that there are three factors that I am invoking to. For me to be excused for liquidated damage, the terms and condition, the excuses for non-delay, which is the act of God, and the integrity of the notice of default. It's not only about reasonable cost on the manufacturer, but also the integrity of the letter of notice of default. Because they waited, just like for that Linkwalk, they specify one manufacturer only, if you check the PO. They specify other manufacturer or specify or equal, then I can send other material, maybe faster. Because, you know, in the mainland, some company doesn't last for a while, you know.
Are you brand specific, Ms. Pangolinan? Are you brand specific? He's saying that you only want it from a particular manufacturer.
Not necessarily. With the technical side, like the assembly switch, that also is consideration because we have them existing in the units. So if the end users require SNC or SNK, then it's because they're currently right now on for more of a standard uniformity.
And only certain manufacturers?
That is correct.
Your Honor, if you look in the purchase order, it is specified there the reference McMaster with the manufacturer for the lean plot in PO, and in that particular PO, you know, the lean absorbent plot,
mm-hmm.
they specify the reference McMaster and the part number. What I'm saying is if they only specify all equal, then we can get other brand, and it would be, you know, quick. We can make the delivery expense the current delivery. But we're just conforming with their specified manufacturer.
So sir, if we could just summarize your basic argument. In essence, are you telling us you're relying on basic fairness, fair dealing? Am I correct in that or not?
No, Your Honor. I'd like to make a motion again that the Public Auditor Office, I request that the Public Auditor Office request or instruct GPA. I would like to delete request. Instruct GPA to reimburse me on the liquidated damage that was imposed on those purchase orders.
That's all part of what we're proceeding now.
Because Your Honor, my right was deprived.
Yes, sir. That's incorporated in this proceeding at that request. It's understood.
I have another question. This is on PO number 12132, and I apologize. I don't know where all the tabs are. But what I gathered when I looked at this, all of the order came in except, and when I looked at it, it's the last one, I thought there were 10 items. I think it's on relevant pages are 112, 113, 114. That is, I'm trying to find the PO itself now.
I'm sorry, what's the PO number?
This would be 12132.
It's on page 118. Okay, thank you.
Okay, that's right. 100 of these were ordered, and all but... And you assess liquidated damage on just one item out of the $12,000 PO. What happened here? Did all the other 99 come in on time and one did not?
Your Honor?
Yes, I can answer. Sure.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor. Yeah, on the PO 12132, Your Honor, the ALD is only $10.36. Yes, you're correct. Only a small amount was delivered late, and it was liquidated. That's why the ALD is only $10.
Right. No,
well,
that's what I said.
To be only on one item, I mean.
Yeah, but I guess my question is, were all 99 delivered on time?
Well, looks like the guess of it was only $10, yes.
Hmm? No, I understand that, but these are 100 items at $121 each.
That's right.
Okay, for a $12,000 order. My question is, were all 99 delivered on time? That's my question. I couldn't tell from the receiving report if all but one came in on time.
Okay, I can't answer that because this is not a receiving report. This is actually a copy of the purchase order.
But isn't a receiving report part of the procurement record, Mr. Gosa?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so why isn't the receiving report not in here? And I guess my question is, And this one, when I looked at this one, I mean, 99 out of 100 came in on time, it would appear. Only one, pardon the expression, slipped out. Mm-hmm. Yet you, if all 99 were on time, so even because of one, you would still assess the liquidated damage on that one item?
That's correct.
Wow.
If it's all completed.
Wow. Okay. But Mr. Bosa, it appears that your procurement record is not complete.
It does appear that the receipt on that is not in the procurement record.
That was one that I was troubled by. It wasn't sure. So eventually, so for the one item, he was 37 days late, and therefore you assessed the...
That was the $10 and some...
Yes. No, but my point is all 99 were received on time. But because one came late, you went ahead and assessed liquidated damages for the one, even though the 99 were on time.
Yes, ma'am, because the receiving reports, all deliverables are made delivered directly to the warehouse. The warehouse is the one that controls the receiving reports, and so that is turned around at 24-hour time period to accounting. So yes, assessment is made until 100% completion.
Mr. Bosa, why would you want to do business with a company like that who, I mean, we got 99% done, but yet because of the 1%, they did not grant you an extension?
Well, in this case, I'm not sure there was a request for extension on that.
There was a letter CO sent on page 103, is my recollection. Since you are denying my request and you need the materials, I'm suggesting that you order that same materials to another vendor since it cannot deliver on time and cancel the order you have issued to us.
And that's the reference to CO number 12132.
And then there was an extension extension granted on that. And so within that extension, which I think went until March 31st, then I guess the rest of the 99 pieces came in, with the exception of one that got lost somewhere in the...
I mean...
So in fact, the extension was granted.
But all the 99 were on time, I'm presuming that, yeah. Right? Otherwise you would have assessed. But because of one out of the 99, you still went ahead and assessed the liquidated damages.
That was extension, amendment one was extension from January 16th to March 31st. And so, obviously the 99 were received before March 31st, and one came in late.
And the extension was disapproved dated 2608. Who's an RU? That looks like someone from GPA.
Yes.
Who's RU?
Ruben Ujoa.
Is there any further questions?
I don't want to go any further.
You want to take a 5-minute recess?
Okay. We want to try to finish this. I would apologize, because we can't extend tomorrow. I think we're going to be ready for closing arguments, right?
Yeah. I think in the interest of time or whatever, I mean, obviously, Mr. Irwin wants to call Mr. Regis, he's available to testify, but perhaps his testimony would be cumulative.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the buyer supervisor.
It's up to you.
I'm not sure with anything, but I mean,
I would agree. In the interest of time, okay. So five minute recess.
Okay.
After this, we'll come back for closing arguments.
Okay.
going to use a five-minute break from approximately 5:10 to 5:15. And we're ready for summation on agreement of the parties. And we will let Mr. Lonsonen summarize first, then Mr. Botha, and then Mr. Lonsonen rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. Again, I would like to thank this office again for accommodating my my protest, and for your guidance, Honorable Self-State, for letting me submit a credible argument justified by stipulation of facts and statutes that would support my dispute. And yes, this case is very relevant because as mandated by law, you need to encourage vendors so that the government will get the best value for their money. And as I had iterated before, yeah, this would lead to a reasonable, the savings would lead to a reasonable lower rate, power rate in the island. And it's an obvious display of misadministration that is not in accordance with the terms and conditions and statutes and rules and regulations. I'm honored to be associated with all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Well, obviously, I disagree with the characterization of misadministration, but I believe the evidence is pretty clear that GBA, whether Mr. Lonsonen agrees or not, does enforce his rules fairly consistently. I'd also note, I mean, certainly the purpose of the pyramid law is to ensure the fair and equitable treatment of all persons dealing with the pyramid system, and I think the GPA to the best extent possible, given that there are obviously, human beings who work there. There's nothing, that's going to be perfect in any system, but I think, the rules are enforced they're enforced with all the vendors that deal with GPA. To the extent that, GPA has provided a valid reason for delay, I think GPA is inclined to grant that. But certainly to the extent that, there is insufficient evidence or insufficient documentation for that, every delay can't fall under an act of God or divine intervention, unfortunately. I mean, I don't think that's what's contemplated by the procurement code, and obviously GPA would have some difficulty in applying that standard to every vendor's request for delay. And obviously, Guam Pacific Enterprises is certainly not the only vendor that's ever asked for delay, nor do we expect that there won't be plenty of other vendors that will continue to do so. And so there's a purpose. I mean, under the statute, there's a clause that's put in for liquidated damages, and the amount, is put in to obviously encourage vendors and otherwise to deliver in a timely fashion. Now, the responsibility of GPA has the ability to determine whether to cancel the contract or whether to wait for a delay. And no, that's not up to the vendor. That's not the way the system is set up. So obviously if GPA has determined that it's better to wait a week or 2 weeks, whatever, to allow for the materials to arrive, that's certainly within its ability to make that determination. There's nothing that requires GPA to cancel the contract. And in fact, the notice of fault doesn't say that. The notice of fault says that, GPA may terminate the contract. There's no requirement for it to do so. And I think, in this case, obviously there are cases where there may be some indication, for the manufacturer that inability to perform, and in fact there is an extension granted in that case. Now in other cases where there's nothing on the record, certainly nothing on the written record to support a delay, well, in that case GPA has exercised its option to calculate the liquidated damages for late delay. And certainly in this case, it's followed through on that. And the other thing, in terms of fair and equitable to the public and all the rest of that, from Mr. Lonsonen's own testimony, GPA continues to send him requests for quotes. if GPA was discriminating against Mr. Lozongin or his company in some form or fashion, certainly wouldn't continue to send out those quotes. But obviously the procurement code requires that, no matter what they think of the vendor, no matter their strength with the vendor, they're required to get quotes from different vendors. And they, you know, the evidence is clear, part of the vendor himself, that they've continued to do so. I mean, so, you know, certainly that's been done. Now, whether GP likes the way that it's done in that fashion or another, I mean, certainly it's up to them to determine whether they wish to respond to those quotes, but there's no evidence that, you know, despite the protests, I mean, we still continue to send them out as we're required to do so. And in looking even in the cases where there is a notice that's been sent to GPA requesting for extension, some of these notices, you know, there's a month extension, but even with that, even if the month extension had been granted, the material still wasn't delivered in a timely fashion, even despite that. So, you know, I mean, I guess each one or each determination has to be looked at on the record that's there, you know, what's being considered. But I don't think GPA has treated Rome Pacific Enterprises any different from any of its other vendors. Whether it's a critical need or not, obviously the materials are needed by GPA. Now, whether each one is critical or urgent, obviously procurement manager is not going to be able to tell you that if it doesn't happen today, something's going to grind to a halt. Well, even for other items that are ordered from other vendors, obviously if it's requested in 10 weeks, then, I mean, they still get an initial 10 days on top of it when the default period is issued. So there's still a grace period in any request for quotes or bid that's sent out. So, I mean, in terms of one item being liquidated damages or not, that's the uniform application of the process. I mean, if you leave it up to the discretion of individual employees, then obviously we could see where, you know, one vendor exceeds his 10-day grace period and delivers 2 weeks later, and we don't assess liquidated damages, whereas perhaps Mr. Lozongin delivers 2 weeks later than we do. So there has to be a somewhat uniform application of the process. If it's left up to just, you know, how a manager feels or employee feels on a given day, well, then that leads to somebody being favored or somebody being discriminated against. And so, you know, if there's a delay and it's not supported, then there needs to be liquidated damages. Now, perhaps the example of the 1 versus the 99 is somewhat extreme, but, I mean, the item wasn't delivered until later. So, I mean, that's the way it's been applied. You know, to me, there's no evidence that it wasn't applied uniformly or in accordance with the statute that sets forth the 1/4 of 1% of whatever it is per calendar day. So, the reasons are set out, you know, in the GAR for, you know, for why or excusable things, and determination was made. So we'd ask that obviously our request is to allow the liquidated damages to stand. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just a correlation here between the GPA Council and the GPA procurement system. You know, administer their work. They don't follow instructions. Since August, your office specified that they need to submit to our office all the documents that they will provide to the public auditor, but they did not do so. In September 10 or 17, he's supposed to make a motion, but he did not do so. I made my motion and served GPA. He was given the opportunity to oppose my motion, but he did not do so. That's why there's a strong correlation, Your Honor. And this is the way they operate, then the GPA is in trouble. You know? There are three factors that would grant me the extension and waive the liquidated damage. And one factor alone is enough to satisfy my request. The terms and conditions specified, the letter from the factory. Second, the
excuse for delayed performance, which is out of God, which is very broad. Third is the integrity that is lacking in their notice of default, wherein they given me, if 10 days that I don't deliver on time, then they would default my company, but they did not. Only one of the factory owner will already satisfy my request and give the LD. And in terms of the liquidated damage that was, it was applied to all vendors doing business with GPA, I'm sure 100% or 1,000,000% that there's some vendors that the liquidated damage were not carried out. You know, and you see, they don't even comply with the Section 5249 of Record of Procurement Action. There's so many correspondents that are missing in their procurement records. And they are mandated to do that. I have to provide my own, Your Honor. This just reflects the way they operate. And I don't want to say anymore, because I believe I have stated my cause. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, sir. All right, I appreciate the clarity that came forward from both parties. I appreciate very much Mr. Lansana's presentation, and I feel he did a good job, sir, and is able to present your issues very clearly, as Mr. Bolta represented GPA ably and presented his side very clearly. What we have before us is a contract dispute, which is before the OPA under that section of our jurisdiction. It is not, again, a procurement appeal, but a contract dispute, and subject to those rules and regulations and law, including guidance under federal law for our final decision. The federal acquisition regulation and other boards that may come into play for guidance, in addition to Guam law and our statutes. I want to also inform you that the OPA statute of limitations will bear on this. We needed to hear this hearing before we listened, before we could decide what part the OPA statute of limitations might play. And we will go over that and take that statute in the presentation and in consideration. And I also wanted to make it clear that the terms of the default termination clause applicable to all purchase order contracts does allow, by the very terms of that clause, excess costs of reprocurement. In other words, if there were to be a reprocurement, it does not necessarily mean that the current vendor would not be liable for those costs of reprocurement under the default termination clause applicable to all purchase orders. I want everybody to be clear on that before we even start to make a decision. And I will, it's within the terms of the bar, which that. If there is excess cost, there may be no excess cost. What? Brooks brought an interesting point, and she says, don't you have to document the costs? And yes, you would. It's not necessarily that reprocurement would involve an excess cost. It is if they do involve an excess cost, then you would be liable for it. Everybody understand? All right, thank you. I think the proceeding is closed. The record indicates it's now 5:30 p.m. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay. Oh.